Welcome to the Order of Time. Today, I would like to talk to you about war and victory. Yesterday, we heard the President of the United States giving a speech about the predicament of our culture, our human culture in Iraq. We have landed in a great difficult situation in Iraq. I don't want to discuss now who to blame for this. Some say the president should be blamed because he cheated us into this war. Some say, okay, no, he must be supported because he's a true soldier standing for his case, defending his position. And taking his responsibility. Once you're engaged in this, you cannot just pull back and say, well, we don't want this anymore. Let's care about ourselves only. That would be, according to the president, would that be very irresponsible. Once you have taken this responsibility, you cannot just withdraw from it and say, I've changed my mind. No, you assume this responsibility and you have to take the consequence. And in that, the president is correct, to my opinion. Once you started this, you have to take the consequence. So we got entangled in this struggle for order in Iraq. We try to defend this as the spread of democracy in the world. We believe in democracy as the solution to our problems. And I agree in a certain way this is true. Democracy should be kept in mind as a solution to us people in the West. Who are at a certain level of self-realization. This sounds arrogant, of course, but we can manage to be peaceful and not fight with weapons, but fight with words. Because what is democracy? In democracy, we fight with words. Words are the way we deal with differences of opinion and differences of material interest, in the hope and with the belief that reason will prevail. So if the president says, we will prevail in Iraq, he in fact says, reason will prevail. If we follow the goodness, if we say it is good to be consequent and take your responsibility, then we must support him in this and say, okay, it is good, but the purpose of democracy is to attain to reason, to maintain reason and to install reason as the true belief of democracy. We believe in reason. We must be reasonable. So if we are reasonable with our mission in Iraq, if we as Europeans, I myself am a European, if we are of solidarity with our brothers, Americans, and if we support this mission in Iraq, then we have to say, okay, reason. Reason is why we are there. We have to install reason and lessen the violence. This military intervention is not there to promote the military. It's not there to promote the imposition of force. No, this is there to install democracy in the sense of the culture of reason. We hope that reason will prevail. And this is a great mission to have reason prevailing over the different opinions of religion and politics. It's something we have in the West also as a challenge. It's not naturally so that we would be not corrupt in our power tactics, that we would be not corrupt in our motives, that we would go for the vision instead of the means only. So this is a challenge by which the enemy rightly can say, okay, you want to install democracy, but you're a great sinner. From our views, as religious people, you are, but also from your own opinion, you are not directly the Holy Virgin telling us to be pious people. The president may be a born-again Christian, but as said before, it is also necessary to consider a third birth. It is not enough to be reborn from your spiritual teacher, the priest of your favor, or the belief of your favor, because I'm not pleading for Christianity or Islam or anything separate. I'm just talking about accepting the intellectual, whether he's a theologian or someone else, as a lead in society, because I don't think politicians are the actual leaders in society. The actual leaders, to my opinion, are the philosophers, are the intellectuals who are supposed to back up the people in government, the people who rule. So what is also needed is a third birth of serving the integrity of a new self-realized order. So these first two births are not enough. This third birth is necessary for people who rule, especially in relating to this philosophical and scientific authority, offering new concepts of order. So now we discuss this new concept of order, this integrity of order, which is very important in politics, to keep in touch with it and to try to serve that. The people ruling, the servants of the state, the civil servants, are representatives, not just of the common people, not just of employees, but not just of entrepreneurs, industrialists, and commercial people. They are also representatives of professors and teachers in schools and universities, as also representatives of the spiritual doctrines that rule in our democracy, which is not just Christian, but also a multi-faith approach. Something we discussed before, which is also a main concern in our philognosy at this site. So Iraq is a problem. We want to install democracy, and democracy is the belief in reason, that reason will prevail. So I support this. I support the president and America and the Western alliance in Iraq sacrificing their own lives and their own money just to install reason, because we don't feel safe if reason is not ruling in Iraq. And since this has been proven, that Iraq wasn't ruled by reason, this war was the consequence. And still, the dictator has been removed and democracy has been successfully installed, but it is not peaceful. Democracy and peace is not synonymous. Democracy is just as well a struggle about commercial interests. The Iraqis, the enemies, who fight the America, they say, okay, their motives are impure. They are heretics to our belief. They want to make profit, which is contrary to the ideology of the prophet itself, who says, okay, you can lend money, but you cannot ask this kind of interest for what you gave. So this economic profit motive is not trusted by Islam. So you have a difficulty of schools to find a proper reason to speak of a successful democracy. Of course, in a democracy, there will be differences of opinion, sure. But the question now is how to make of such a violent democracy a more peaceful democracy. And then we have to go into what actually has been decided from yesterday, what the president said. that we want to install a better regime by means of more troops and by means of a legal and an economic motive of bringing democracy. What must be reminded is that that we are not just ruling democracy with law and economy. Law and economy are limited concepts of science and order, of which we say that that they will not suffice. It is not enough to be an economist and to be a legislator, to be a lawyer. This is not how democracy works. This might be the political opinion of the president, that that you can create order with the book of with lawyers and with economists. There's more about science than just economy and law. I do not deny the necessity of economy and law, because you need laws and you need a proper division of capital and goods, and to be wise about it, sure. But it's also, and that must be reminded too, a reinforcement policy that says we are shaping a certain kind of behavior to a certain concept of authority. Well, economy is just free market, free competition, and has no such explicit philosophy about the type of authority we obey. Nor has law such a definite answer. There is a legal settlement of time, for instance, but it's not said that this would be an Islamic concept of time or a Christian concept of time. The law, as such, is simply representing what the people want. And as such, has the law on itself no opinion about this. It is not philosophy. Law is no philosophy. Law is no psychology either. Law is no psychiatry. Law is no history. Law is simply the law, the defense of a set of rules that are supposed to keep the peace and justify us in our economic and political endeavors to defend our individual interest, but also the collective interest. So don't get me wrong, law and economy, I do not reject them as proper approaches, but just for themselves, that is not enough. If we send troops to Iraq, if we want to install democracy, we must also be reminded of the fact that there's more science to it than just this. If we send troops, we also send a team of health care, mental health care workers, like reverends, like psychologists and psychiatrists, to help people to keep their sanity with religion, with psychological support, and with psychiatrists, we keep ourselves in the proper department of mental health. A war, a civil war, can also be described as a form of mental disease on a collective scale. The dictator has been removed, and now the dictature has decompensated. The compensation of this personal worship of a dictator is not there anymore. He proved to be a fake god, not a real god. And the true god must be retrieved, and the true of reason belonging to that god must also be restored. So this is not a matter of economy. This is not a matter of justice. A law book and a bag of money will not do it. You can create jobs, but can you create sane people? So we must consider also the interests of religion, of psychology, and of psychiatry. So I myself am an educated psychologist. I specialized in yoga philosophy, and thus I am representing this interest of unity in diversity, because unity of consciousness is the purpose of yoga. And the unity in diversity is what our political belief is. We believe in the unity, in the diversity of the different cultures, of the different types of people, of the different types of political parties and religions in the world. So this is not just a concept for the Western world. It's what I adhere to is a concept of integrity covering the whole world. I believe that the integrity of the unity that we need to find peace in the first place with ourselves and secondly with each other is found simply in yoga. In yoga we unify the consciousness, and this is a clearly set of rules how to do this. You have to practice the body regularly, and you have to adhere to a certain values that would bring us this integrity of being one without denying the diversity. Because that is the point. If we bring democracy on a one-sided political opinion of a certain political interest, of a certain religious conversion, the president is a born-again Christian, that won't do. That is not enough. That will not unify us. Never will a single religion overrule the other. This is one of the reasons that the war continues. Christianity will never dominate Islam. That will never happen. Nor will liberal parties defeat democratic parties. Or in America, it's not called this way. It's called democratic and republican parties. They will not. None of them will ever rule the world. The socialists will never rule the world. The what we in Europe call the liberals, the free enterprise people of business and individual interest in the first place, they will never rule the world. The conservatives, they're also called. The fundamentalists, the people basing themselves on religious arguments, will never rule the world. No political party, no separated identity of humanity will ever rule the world. The world, scientifically seen, and that's the way I see it as a psychologist doing yoga, is ruled by, first of all, the witness, the soul, who decides what to do and what not to do, and secondly, by science itself, saying that that the world is simply divided in these parties, which cannot be undone, because they simply cover different fields of interest, which are not mutually exclusive. No, they are complementary. And this we discussed before in the considerations about the fields of action, internally and externally, which make up our lives and which corrupted result in political parties and religions that mutually compensate, complement each other. So it will never happen that the Christians will dominate the Muslims or the Muslims will dominate the Christians. They are simply, from a historical point of view, different chapters from the same book that we are reading. The book of history contains a chapter Christianity, a chapter Islam, a chapter Enlightenment, a chapter Hinduism, Vedic culture, the ancient culture, a chapter Judaism, a chapter China philosophy of Confucianism, and a chapter of Greek philosophy. So these chapters will not be removed from our book of history, no way. So these cultures and the way we remember them will not be able to repress each other. So this illusion must be given up. So to my opinion, a good democracy is of reason if we respect this entire science of history and psychology too. In psychology we speak not so much of historical facts all the time, although they play a part, because it's also time related. The psychologist, and that's also the point I'm making at this site, is interested in systems of conditioning. We are all conditioned people that tick to a certain type of order, which define our religions, which define the authority we follow. And if we as Westerners, who stick to mainly to the sun with a linear concept of order, with a linear week and a linear day order, an order that is not leaping to the dynamics of nature, but is simply a straight line of reliable elements. We speak of cultural consciousness. We have a cultural consciousness that says, okay, we are faithful to the sun with solar dates, and we cut right through it like a knife, like with the linear order, which is not that constructive. In previous talks, I concluded that the cyclic order of nature is the conditioning order that created all living beings on Earth and keeps those living beings also in their natural positions according to their genetic codes. The genetic code is the code book of conditioning for living beings that define their own order. And as such, humanity should be recognized as conditioned just as well as animals and plants are by this natural order. And that is the point I'm making at this site called The Order of Time, that we are, as human beings, all one and the same conditioned human interest to that natural order. And on itself, a species, why should it destroy itself in a war? This is mental illness. This is an estrangement from this original authority of nature. We are estranged from the authority of nature, and that's why we fight each other. And we have this conditioning by nature, which we cut through with our linear concept of order. We Westerners do so. We have this week order and this day order that cuts like a knife through the cyclic conditioning. And this is a more or less conflictuous mind, which the Muslim doesn't, and certainly not the fundamentalist, doesn't accept. They tick to another order. We tick to philosophers who relativize the how time and space would relate to each other, and based on this, we speak of a pragmatical concept of time, which gives us our cultural consciousness, which is so full of conflict, of building and destroying. So this is not really the wisdom that the Iraqi and the convinced Muslim adheres to. We have to understand this if we want to bring democracy there. We have to be critical about our own concept of time and conditioning and the authority to which we argue and defend this interest of democracy. So if we want to bring democracy in Iraq, we have to revise our own concept of democracy, because we have to adapt to the local culture, of course. The Iraqis, an Islam democracy, is not the same as a Western democracy. We have to, and since democracies still are supposed to follow the basic rule of a general democracy, which is reason, we should remember this, that there are different concepts of order, that we have the lunar order ruling the flag of Islam and the fundamentalists, and the solar order, which is the natural alignment of the Western mind. We are aligned with nature by dates, not by weekdays. The days of the week do not align us with nature. It is the dates that align us with nature. This is the absolute truth of our own consciousness, the firm basis on which we say we are self-confident, we are scientific, we are in accord with natural laws, partly. One half of our mind is so, the other half is linear, breaking through this conditioning. But if we bring democracy, we should also remember to bring a certain psychological wisdom, meaning a counseling activity, which is motivated for negotiating a concept of order, which would be more in respect with the different authorities of time management in this new democracy. There's the Western interest of linear time, which is troublesome, but linear time is liberating. It breaks through conditionings. So that's the positive of it. But we should be aware of the destructiveness of that. Islam also must be aware of this, and that there are different concepts of time we deal with if we want to create order. Because a war is a conflict of authority, and this conflict of authority in a psychological sense can be led back, can be retraced to this concept of authority concerning our conditionings. If you go to the index page of our this site, The Order of Time, you see there displayed this little symbol of the United Nations concerned of the victory, about the territory. That is the symbol. And I would like to see it replaced by the victory of the Order of Time in respect with as well the moon as the sun as the celestial sky. We cannot unify ourselves in territorial terms, because that is always an ego protective of a certain local interest. We can only unify ourselves in a concept of time which represents the authority of our conditionings, of our genetic makeup, of our unity as human beings, to the order of time that is there of nature, not of our own making. And this is a point that Islam in general is making, and the fundamentalist especially. They don't trust us as democrats because we are not pure in our sense of authority. So we, in counseling activities and in mental health care, we should be very aware of this authority of the order of time. There's a third authority next to history and psychology, and apart from economy and law, there's also psychiatry. Psychiatrist says, well, all these mad people, war is nothing but madness, collective schizophrenia, and crazy people have a disturbed biochemical balance in their bodies. So don't just bring war, money and weapons, also bring those people food. If you feed the people properly, because during wartime those things are limited or very bad, bad food, no vegetables, no fruit, just canned food or some other supply. Take care of that the people are properly fed, everybody, and that is half the madness that keeps the war going. So war cuts all the lines of provision. If you restore this, if you make this a priority, I think fundamentalists will not attack as easily a supply of oranges as a supply of hand grenades. If you bring them hand grenades, that will be explosive. If you bring them oranges and apples, they will restore physically and become get over their depression of being of missing vitamin C simply. This is just a psychiatric concern of a proper biochemical balance. And also the mind of the predator should also be considered, that we are also evolutionary in a phase of history in which we have to conclude that there's no future for the predator human being. In the old days, we could have a territory and go hunting. These days, that is not possible anymore. There's not enough territory for 6 billion people to be living and thinking and motivated like predators. There's no future in the meat industry. It's not just me as a yoga practitioner concluding this. This is a general conclusion also maintained by Time magazine during 5-6 years ago with the Millennium issue. So there's no future in the meat industry. That should be remembered. We should learn to eat and live more peacefully with nature, like vegetarians. There are more tame vegetarians than in one pen than you can have predators in a large territory. So this is the order I propose to bring in Iraq. Not just legal and economic order, but also an order based on historic, psychological and psychiatric considerations, including the realization that no religion will ever conquer the world. That will never happen. This is what I wanted to tell you today. I thank you for your attention.